you reflect on this. You know, I was praying upstairs about this. The first reading in the church gives us these as gifts, right? The first reading is acknowledging sin. And it's asking for forgiveness. But one of the things that's always important to realize, we're asking for forgiveness for the whole people. Have we sinned, of course? You see, when we go to confession, we have to go to the bishop, though he can delegate that authority to priests, and that's what he does, because there's a lot of us. And so, but the effort there, you see, is not to recite all my sins and then, whew. No, you see, is to get reconciled again to the church. Because by our sin, we have pulled down the holiness of the church. And we have to be reconciled to Christ in the church through the bishop or the priest so that we're fit to be part of the body again. Or more fit, if there's no serious sin, still it's the same thing. We're pulling down the holiness of the church. So we look and say, all these bishops are jerks, whatever. We say, well, yeah, maybe that's because you're a jerk and you're not praying for them. And you're not striving for a real conversion yourself because we are one. And of course, that's what this, for your name's sake, do not deliver us up forever. Do not take away your mercy. And then he appeals to the merits of the fathers. For the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, and Israel, Jacob, your holy one, don't look at us, look at the saints. Look at Padre Pio. Look at St. Francis. You know, look at the Mother Teresa. Look at them. See? And forgive us. All of us. That's repentance. Now, forgive me too, because I need it. But you see, forgiveness. And so, on the basis of that, the Lord tells this parable about the guy who was forgiven. They've given up trying to mediate the amount. I think it's 100,000 dinars. Well, a dinar is a year's wage. So, you know, this is practically the national debt this guy owes. And it's put that way on purpose. You get what you owe the Father, you know? Not a picadillo. This is God we're talking about. And so, there's no way this guy, I mean, like it's like the national debt, let's say. Okay. So, since he had no way of paying it back, of course, you see, his master ordered him to be sold along with now. You see, that's what debtor's prison was. You put a guy in jail till his family finally raised enough money to get him out. And so he's going to jail. Because with his wife and his children to be sold and all that, you see, that's gonna, not going to even make a dent on the national debt, but you see. And so the servant fell down and so forth. And he let him off. Wrote off the national debt. He turns around. There's a guy who owes him $1,000. He grabs him by the neck. He chokes him, you know. And he puts him in prison. So what's that master going to do when he finds out about this? Well, you know, you just heard it. You know? You wicked servant. I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant? So then, put him in jail until he should pay back the whole debt. Well, that means eternity. When's this guy going to get money? Now he's in jail on top of everything else to pay. You see what our Lord's trying to drive home? Two things. Corporate responsibility from the first lesson. And that humility which learns to forgive everybody. Why should I not forgive? Am I the center of the world? And if I forgive, it's just good business. I'll be forgiven. So that's why it ends. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. So I was praying about this. What binds these two things together? This praying. Don't you feel it? Like there's some things out on the internet, a couple of young priests making beautiful, strong, clear proclamations of the gospel. Right in the light of this HHS stuff, you know. Everybody's proud of them. Because that's our church. Then we can look another direction and we're all embarrassed to death. That's my church. Have mercy on us, Lord. The whole darn church. I need it, sure. So does everybody else. And we have let you down enormously. Here we are, the very body of Christ. And they're all killing each other. They're all going to go communist. They're all what? You see? Because we weren't holy. That's why. So I was trying to, and it occurred to me that in the Benedictine rule, there's only one spirituality or one aspect of spirituality that is taught. That's humility. In fact, chapter 7 of the rule is a chapter on the steps of humility. There are 12. I'm not going to read them all. But you see, brothers, divine scripture calls to us, saying, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. In saying this, therefore, it shows us that every exaltation is a kind of pride, which the prophet indicates he has shunned, saying, Lord, my heart is not exalted, my eyes are not lifted up, and I have not walked in the ways of the great, nor gone after marvels beyond me. He's got a different Latin translation than we do. Well, we don't use that one anymore anyway. And why? If I had not a humble spirit, but were exalted instead, then you would treat me like a weaned child. In other words, I'm like a weaned child. I can be at the source of life, but I don't have to grab for it. I can just trust you. You see? Accordingly, brothers, if we want to reach the highest summit of humility, if we desire to attain speedily that exaltation in heaven to which we climb by the humility of this present life, then by our ascending actions, we must set up that ladder on which Jacob in a dream saw angels. You can see how biblical these people are. You see? And then the first step, there's 12 steps. I'm not going to go through them all. But the first step is that a man keep the fear of God always before his eyes, and never forgets it. He must constantly remember everything God has commanded, keeping in mind that all who despise God will burn in hell for their sins, and all who fear God have everlasting life awaiting them. Okay, so the first step is just to be aware of reality. You see, and then I could go on, you see, but humility. Humility is to be aware of God and the real issues of life. That's humility. If I'm aware of those, somebody punches me in the nose, I'll think a couple of times before I go after him, because I'll be just as bad as he is. If I forgive him, I can win him over. And I'll only be like Jesus, who on the cross, after they beat him and beat him and mocked him, he prayed for their forgiveness. So the root, the taproot of this begging God forgiveness for us and forgiving others is humility. And the basis of humility, just remember there's a God. And then, if you need help, think of this parable. Have you ever been forgiven? You know? So what right have you got? And then, begging the whole Lord, begging the Lord, because we have sinned. These dumb bishops, they did blah, blah, blah. Maybe because I wasn't praying for them. Maybe because my sin infected them somehow. We are one. And so, you get the idea. So today we have these two texts. In the book of Daniel, praying, forgive us, Lord, forgive us. You notice you never forgive me. Forgive us. Now we do have a beautiful psalm that pierces the heart, right? Have mercy on me, O God, in your kindness. In the greatness of your mercy, blot out my guilt. Truly I acknowledge my sins. That, there's a place for that. But first we pray and ask the Lord to pardon the whole church. And then we start pardoning everybody. It's amazing to me. In the second letter of Timothy, no, first letter, second chapter. First of all, I want prayers for kings and governors and all in high places. First of all, who was the emperor in Rome at that time when that was being written? Nero, one of the greatest persecutors of the church. Okay.